Our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the holy living trinity of love. Amen. Thank you each for your presence today. It's good to see each of you here in the sanctuary. Joy to be in community. And thank you very much for being willing to participate in our experience of community worship today. And we welcome everyone who's online right this moment or whenever you might watch this. And wherever you might be, we feel your presence in the room, and we send love to you and receive yours back and wish you a beautiful day today, wherever you might be. Just a couple announcements. First of all, welcome if you're new or visiting recently. I'd love the privilege of meeting you after the service. I'll be standing up here and would love to meet you if you wish. We have a bulletin for everyone, and you can follow along, especially if you're new. All the chants, the songs we sing are in here, so I encourage you just to take a look at that so you don't feel left out. They're very simple chants, but sometimes it helps to have the words as well. There's a couple of announcements to draw our attention to today. There's actually some extraordinary new things unfolding, new classes that are coming. We have two retreats that are planned, one for next weekend, August 27th. It's an in-person centering prayer retreat here in the sanctuary led by Renee Sinicky. And that's from 9 a.m. to noon, so it's a wonderful way of gathering just for part of the day with others in the silence. It's a beautiful way of renewing yourself at the end of the summer. Also, we have a five-day intensive centering prayer retreat led by Donald Janung up at Cedar Break. And so that is a meaningful time away, 5 days in the silence. Talk about pampering yourself, just allowing God to bless you in the silence and the rest and the solitude of that beautiful place. You can register or learn more about each of those retreats online or by calling the church office. Then we're hosting this thing on Sunday, September 11th, that I'm calling CCH 101. If you're new or been around for a little bit but would like to meet others and hear more about the church, it's a Sunday. Sunday, September 11th, we'll have a little light lunch and soup and salad, and then we'll just get to know each other, have a brief hour and a half of fellowship. I'd love the privilege of meeting you. So you just register for that by calling the church office, CCH 101. We have several classes starting this fall in September. The Lessons in Truth class is a class that's required for membership, but you can also just attend the Lessons in Truth class and not become a member. It's a wonderful class on principles of the metaphysical dimension of really the grounding of how we think, what we think, what we hold in mind happens in kind. It's a powerful lesson, and Donald Janung will be leading that. It's in person only, Wednesdays, beginning September 7th, from 7:15 to 8:30. Then we have an online class that is on Bernadette Roberts' teaching on her spiritual journey about the circle tour, as we call it, a passage through self. If you're interested in going really deep in what her model of the spiritual journey is and what it relates to ours, I encourage you to attend that. It's Wednesday evenings at 7:30, beginning September 14th. Then we have Gurdjieff Movements, which is a way of embodying the work through. It's a sacred dance, and Jack here, sitting right here in this blue shirt. If you have a question, just talk to Jack after the service. And if you're interested in learning more about the movements, that's a very sacred experience, dancing, moving with others in a very conscious, intentional way, putting the work on, putting consciousness into the body. It's really a beautiful thing of engaging the body. And then we've got a Beelzebub's Tales reading group that's happening again this fall, starting Monday, September 12th. You need to register for that. You can read more about all these offerings and opportunities online or in the bulletin, and I encourage you to do that. And then lastly, we have prayer request cards, which are on the, I guess, the east side of the courtyard, the opposite side of the bathrooms and the kitchen. And there's a little icon there of Jesus, and then there are these cards sticking out of a box. And I encourage the community to share your prayer concerns, that we would be a community prayer for one another. You may have noticed that I've begun the intercessory prayers before the Eucharist. This is the Lord's table where we meet in Christ in a more tangible way. The Lord is available to us through the Eucharist. So this is a beautiful place where the prayers of the people are united with the great prayer of the Eucharist, where our suffering as people is united to the suffering of Jesus. And so encourage us not to forget to share your prayer concerns, you know, whatever might be going on in your life. These cards are available. And then there's a little slot there in a beautifully designed prayer box. You can put it in there. And then every Monday morning, office manager Lisa Janung picks those up, and then we sort through the prayer requests and send them out to the community. And there are different prayer groups that meet throughout the church. So I think it's a way to support one another. Life is hard for all of us, and so sharing our prayer concerns is a way we can support one another in our journeys and with our burdens in life. That is all the announcements I have. I thank you for your presence today to be a part of this extraordinary worship service together. Let's take a moment. What is it that you wish to experience today? Why are you here? Wish for something from this service, for yourself, for those sitting beside you, and for the world. Holy Spirit, bless each of us, and may these wishes come to be in our lives all the more. Amen.
Please join us in opening to the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come. Holy Spirit. Please stand and join your neighbors in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love, love. Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading this morning is taken from Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with clanging cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
We conclude a series that we've been journeying through this summer called Transforming Practices, particularly practices that have been related to our bodies, such as postures and gestures, or breathing, or eating, or sleeping. And today we conclude with the theme creating, that we're creators, and we have this amazing ability to create. Recently I was visiting a friend of mine who was dying up in Iowa, and I zoomed up there for a day, and I had a connection through Dallas-Fort Worth, and most people weren't wearing masks, and so it was first time to be around a lot of strangers in one place from all around the world. And as I observed people and looked into their faces and looked into their eyes as we were zooming by and going on our different ways and riding on that rickety tram and waiting in lines and waiting for boarding calls, I observed that so many of us look exhausted. And so many of us look so unhappy. I don't mean to be judgmental, but I can observe. And it just seemed to me like, here we are, so blessed as a nation, so abundantly gifted with so much goodness, so much ease of life, of transportation, of education, of clean water, of hot water, of air conditioning, of heating, travel alone, just the highways, and then the airplanes, the immensity of the creative output that has happened on this continent alone, the creative energies that have gone into the way we get to live, the blessings that we have are just so profound. I don't mean to minimize all the suffering as well, but it just seems to me, in a country that was built upon the pursuit of happiness, that a lot of people look pretty miserable. Something's not working. Something's missing the mark, it seems to me. That there's a deep, deep disconnect from the energy of spirit that fuels creative energy, that fuels a creative life, that no matter what your day-to-day job might be or how much you feel you're in the rat race, flying here, going there, doing this, getting that, you know, getting this paycheck, doing this to get this, to do this, to make this connection, to make this deal, make this call, make this happen, the immense energy that is spent by all of us just to make a living. You can feel that pressure. But is there a hidden life, an interior life that can fuel us in a different way and bring about a quality of life that is preferred and excels and that shines a light out to other people, say, hey, there's a different way to live. There's a different way to live than pedal to the metal, burning up your engine and medicating yourself to hide the fact that you've done damage because you haven't taken rest, you haven't been sleeping, you haven't been breathing deeply, you haven't been meditating. And the band-aids that this culture offers are quite extensive and expensive. So it's just a wondering more than a judging. It's an observing more than a critiquing. It's just a how are we living, you know? And so we come to the conclusion of this series with this extraordinary flourish, a creative flourish. And you might say, well, what does creativity have to do with living a God-devoted life, what this church is all about, you know? What does creativity have to do with the spiritual practices? What does creativity have to do with spirituality at all? And it seems to me the answer is everything. And the reason I can say everything is because I have a theology of life. I have a theology of life, not just an economics of life, not just a pragmatics of life, not just a philosophy of life. I have a theology of life, and so do you. We all do. We just don't always have good theologies of life. There are better theologies of life, just like there are better pizza places. Oh, I'm tempted to talk about my favorite pizza all of a sudden. I won't go there, but many people forget that their image of God shapes how they image life. Their image of God shapes how they image life and how they image themselves. Our view of God tells us a lot about our view of ourself. And there's a lot of wounded beings out there who have been fed a horrendous image of God. People come and talk all the time. You've probably heard this story. You know, they say, I don't believe in God. God is this, this, and this, and this. I don't believe in God. If this is the way the world is, how can anyone believe in God? And, you know, I like to say, well, I don't believe in that God either. That's not the God I believe in, who's waiting to judge you or condemn you or send you to hell, who creates certain people to go to hell. This is not the God of reality. This is the God of fear and of men and women who have been wounded by life. Lower levels of consciousness creates all sorts of fearful things about God. We know this to be true. Just like little children have nightmares and they think it's real. well, it's not real, and we know that, and we comfort them, and we console them. And there's always been witnesses and witnessers that have been calling to humankind saying, hey, grow, evolve. You don't have to believe the things you believe. You don't have to understand it that way. There are other ways of understanding. There are other ways of becoming. There are other ways of being. And so we get to live in this time period where we can correct our image of God. And one of the most important ways we can correct our image of God is the shift from seeing God as a man sitting on a throne with a white beard, with the son beside him who looks a little bit like the father, just not as white of a beard. And this correction of that God is up there as a man, and this understanding that God is beyond all being, that God isn't even being, because if God were being, then there would be a limit to that being. That God would be, and so we can't even understand what God is, but the best we can get at, this beautiful understanding of humility and emptiness, a surrender to what God is that God is the source of all life, and God is love itself birthing and creating all that is. The breather of the universe is the Aramaic word for our Father. Abun, who art in heaven. Abun means birther and bringer of the universe. God is the breather of the universe. That alone shifts your consciousness. Say, whoa. And of course, isn't it the case, it just takes a few centuries for human beings to send up telescopes to see that, oh, it looks like the universe is being breathed from some source. It's coming from somewhere. There is a hot, dense beginning. I call it the breath of the kiss of God, a hot, dense kiss. And all things are. So we're imbued by this source with the will and the desire and the hunger of a carrying that image as source makers ourselves. God is creator, God is source, and God has imprinted in each of us a desire and a hunger to be source makers and creators ourselves. So part of our misery, I wonder, could it be that part of our misery is that we're not living according to the image, that we aren't spending our energy in creative ways? And so part of the opportunity for us to recharge and experience the fullness of joy in life is to re-tap into that which you feel creative about. And for different people, it's different things. Some people are super, super duper creative about making pizzas. The best pizzas. And other people shouldn't be making pizza. Other people shouldn't be in the kitchen. Some people are so super creative about fixing cars. Some of the most amazing mechanics are actually orthopedics, surgeons. They can't get enough of tinkering on bones and knees and joints. They go and get cars to tinker on. They love fixing things mechanically. Some people are totally creative with words, and they're gifted at writing things and speaking things. Some people are totally creative with their hands, and they can make things out of wood. I remember seeing this woodcarver's museum in Ohio, just central Ohio, just a little bit south of Cleveland. And he, this carver's now dead, but he would take raw big chunks of wood and he would carve perfectly detailed ships out of these big logs and other perfectly designed horses and buggies and cars. And it looked like they were actually just off of the digital printing, like they were that accurate. He was a genius of his hands and creative carving. And someone asked him and did an interview, and he said, how do you do this? And he said, I just be with the wood. I look at the wood, and I see into the wood, and it comes to me. And people have this amazing capacity to use their creative energies in different ways. And it's very, very powerful. Some people are so creative with their voices. Praise the Lord with your voice. Praise the Lord with the stringed instruments. Praise the Lord with the woodwinds. Praise the Lord in every single dimension of your life. Because how we praise is really by being creative. Because the creator is praised when the created creates. Let me say that again. The creator is praised when the created create. And when the created create, we get energized. We get we get in touch with the divine source. And the divinity, that energy of the divinity that is so life-moving and moving toward life, moves through us and empowers us in very meaningful ways. When I look at the indigenous cultures around the world, I see creative beauty. And now when I see just what we wear as clothing, so boring, so boring compared to the gorgeous tapestries that many indigenous peoples around the world made, whether it's from Austria or in Africa or Native American Indians, just astounding beauty in what they wear. Just that alone, some people are so gifted at sewing and making clothes and fashion. I think in one way, what we wear is one of the few things we have control over in life until we get too old to put our clothes on and someone else does that. But really what we wear is one of our first creative acts every day. And garments are a part of the first part of civilization in the book of Genesis. Garments were the first creative act when human beings woke up into a level of consciousness that they discovered something more about themselves. It was a fall upward, as Ken Wilber says. They woke up into a higher level of consciousness. Oh, we're naked. And they felt shame. And the first creative act was garments. Some people are so gifted at making beautiful clothes. And when I see movies about the past or movies about the future, one of the ways they distinguish the past and the future from our modern times or in the moment is their clothing. Their costumes are so extraordinarily beautiful in the past and so cool in the future. Why can't we dress like that? So much creativity. Some people are gifted with creative expression through flowers and these gorgeous weekly displays of beauty. The way that people are creative using their hands in gardening and arboretums and botany. It's just amazing. Some people are creative in capturing nature in ways, whether it's through photographs or drawings, and they convey the glory of the Lord and the beauty of creation by recapitulating the creation through pictures or drawings. Creativity is infused in all of us in all sorts of ways. Saint Irenaeus, the second century theologian, said, "The glory of God is human beings fully alive." The glory of God, you could say the delight of God, the Creator, is human beings fully alive. And by fully alive, you could say fully awake, but you could also say fully creative. That is to say that when human beings live to their fullest of capacities at the highest level of their capacities, at higher emotional, higher intellectual centers, when those are engaged and functioning and interacting with all of the centers, our intellectual center, emotional center, our bodies, when all this system is in service to creative energy and flow, God is glorified. So it's not just about the glory of the artist getting praise or money or fame. It's ultimately for the glory of God. And if you read J.S. Bach's manuscripts, the most glorious music, I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, J.S. Bach's cantatas, his soaring arias, his counterpoint organ works that are so extraordinarily mind-blowing, they just open your heart. Your head just shuts down. And just all you can do is feel it. But to the glory of God, sola dea gloria, he would write on all pages of his manuscripts. And there's something lost in that. There's something so lost in that, that in our culture, there's such a weariness and such a fatigue and such a ugliness about certain things that one begins to wonder, where did that glory go? Where did that beauty go? Did our civilization peak in the Renaissance? Where beauty was manifested through all sorts of architecture and the extraordinary Baroque era of music. And now we have metal music that just could kill you with a heart attack like that if you listen to it. Now we have artwork that looks like total disorder and total chaos. And it doesn't look like art. It's mocking life. It's so jaded. It's because they go to the bottom of the barrel for their creative energy. And it manifests something, mirrors something back to what we are as a species. But that's not what we're here for. We're not here to mutate it to the lowest common denominator. We are called to be creators for the glory of God. We can be better than this. We can be better than this as a civilization. And we can learn from the past. And we can recognize with great humility that we've been given so much and it can be taken away like that. Civilizations come and go. So each of us can play our part by stretching our creative energies, sharing our creative energies, tapping into our creative energies for the glory of God. So I wonder what your creative energy is. You know, how can you glorify God using your creativity? And like I said, there's all sorts of creativity in this room. How's it being used? How's it being tapped? Is it lying dormant in a storage unit somewhere? You know, is it relegated to the 1 week of vacation or relegated to the few hours at the end of the week when you're tired? Where is your creative output, you know, flowing? What's keeping it from flowing? What's keeping it from being shared? Perhaps it's something you did when you were a kid, you've always been energized by and want to come back to. Perhaps it's something you're afraid of. It's so powerful, it could just take you down, you feel. It could change your life, ruin your life. Perhaps it's bigger than you could ever imagine. What has God uniquely thumbprinted in you for your creative expression? And what's holding it back? I wonder. When I look around at our culture, when I see the people running here and there, I realize that we have bought it. We have bought it hook, line, and sinker. That to be happy, we have to have more. We have to have. And the contemplative dimension invites us to be in the world, but not of the world. I'm so grateful for all the income flow that we get to be around in this amazing city, in this amazing state. Our state's income and GDP is like 10th in the world or something like that. We are a nation of blessed beings. I'm so grateful for it all. So I don't want to make anything wrong. But the contemplative invitation is for all of us to move into that interior dimension, into the silence and into the solitude, to take Sabbath from the race, and to take Sabbath to recharge those finest of fine energies that we're spending everywhere else on all our responsibilities, but that could be spent on that creative output. We talked a little bit about this when we talked about the sex center energy and how that energy that is produced is the root of our creative source. And in our culture, we too have bastardized sex energy, and it's being wasted, like unbelievable, vast quantity of sex energy being wasted where it could be going to creative energy. And again, this doesn't make sex bad. Sex is the most beautiful spiritual encounter. But that sex energy also fuels our creative energy. So going into the silence, one of the chief fruits of centering prayer and meditative prayer practice is it fuels our creativity. Unbelievably, one of the unexpected fruits of a meditative prayer practice is a surge in creative energy. On my first 10-day centering prayer retreat up at Cedar Break a while ago, a younger man, a younger Peter, sat on the third or fourth day. I was a rocket ship, and I blasted off. I came out of that lodge, and I ran as fast as I could, 40-second mile or something like that. You know, I just was running, like running. If someone had seen me, they thought, he's lost his mind. But I wasn't running from my legs. I was running from here. I felt like I was a horse and my nostrils were flaring. I was just running. I had never run that fast or far or long in my life. I had all this energy. It was extraordinary. And I know that I'm not the only one who's had surges of energy on retreats. And it's very unexpected. But if you listen carefully to Thomas Keating's videos, he talks about this. He talks about it in the terms of they're somewhat negative, but it's all there. He calls it the unloading. But it's also the launching. It's a launching of energy in addition to the unloading of energy. And this silence is a source of great energy. So on that moment, in that occasion as a younger man, not knowing what to do with all that energy, not having my breathing practices, and really experiencing a 10-day for the first time, I didn't quite know what to do with it, what to make of it. But I do now. And to channel that energy into creative ways. For me, that's writing. For me, that's listening to beautiful music and letting it heal me and minister to me. For me, that's making music. And so that's how I express my creativity. I dabble here and there in some ways. I make a very good turkey loaf, I'm told. But what is your, you know, what is your energy movement toward that creative energy? And if you're feeling blocked or you know, you might say tired with that creative energy, the silence is a great source of recharging and returning to that interiority as well. And so this movement from the interior to the exterior. And in the interior are all of these gifts that come from ideas and imagination and inspiration. And that can come to us very much through meditation. It can also come to us through sleep and dreams. Inspiration and ideas and intuitions also come to us in our sleep, not just in the meditation. And who knows how that interior life will be fueled and fed, whether you're reading something or seeing something, which is such a reminder for all of us to check the quality of influences that's fueling us and feeding us. Because what we're taking in will feed our imagination and feed our intuition and feed our mind. It's the fuel that the whole system runs on. So the quality of the influences is the quality of our life for the most part. You can then see how the shift from the interior dimension fuels this exterior movement of our creative energy. And creativity can just happen, especially if you're giving yourself time just to be still in solitude and not have things to do. Just take the afternoon to be at home, not go anywhere. Take a day to not get in the car, not go anywhere, and see what rises in the exterior form of your life. And for many of us, being creative will require some form of a rule of life, a discipline, because interior intuitions or intimations or ideas also need that exterior structure and discipline to manifest. And so to give yourself that time to be creative, to give yourself a space, to have a little nook for you, a little place for you, whether it's in a garage or in your house somewhere, or maybe it's somewhere else where you can go to express your creative gift, a community garden, or here at church. There's lots of ways that we can find the exterior venue to manifest the interior inspiration. I wanted to just conclude with a reference to the Sufi tradition. And interestingly enough, this month I received the newsletter from New Kamaldoli Hermitage, which is where I'm an oblate and where I love to go and take retreat. And they send a quarterly newsletter out. And in this newsletter, they were focused on creativity, which I thought was such a timely thing. But in this article, this fellow by the name of Aaron references the Sufi tradition. I thought I'd share this with you. A key part of the Sufi tradition involves chanting. It's another form of creativity. But in particular, chanting the 99 beautiful names of God in the Quran. And talk about the created reflected back to the Creator by praising, by renaming God as God has named us. You have put a name in my heart. And now, because you have touched me, I will name you God Almighty, God Creator, God Beautiful. And he says there are three names of particular relevance to the creative life. El Khaliq, the Creator, Al-Bari, the Maker, and Al-Musvir, the Fashioner or Patterner. God the Creator, God the Maker, and God the Fashioner. Somewhat Trinitarian, seems to me. God the Creator, God the Logos is the form of forms. God is the unmanifest. Well, we use the term Father. The Father is the unmanifest. God Almighty is the unmanifest. God the Logos is the manifest, the form of forms, the quintessence of all form. The quintessence of the universe is the Logos that becomes flesh. It's amazing. Just think about that. It's not all the human beings trying to become God. It's the Logos, the quintessence of the universe. The Word that was with God in the beginning was God, the Logos. Whatever the Logos is, it becomes human being. That's astounding. And then the Spirit, which sustains the law of seven, the great laws that sustain all things. This Trinitarian view, this beautiful naming of God. It's an extraordinary way of living the creative life. And so many of us express our creative energy through prayer and worship. We're creative worshipers. The Church of Conscious Harmony doesn't get much more creative than that name. And I'll conclude with a beautiful quote from Cyprian Consiglio, who's the abbot of New Camaldoli Hermitage. And this kind of sums it all up, I think. Cyprian is a sacred musician and a beautiful being. I hope he can come and minister to our community. We had a flight booked for him to come March of 2020. So that didn't happen. So we just wish for him to come and share some of his sacred music with us. And I hope that he will. And we can arrange that again. But he is a beautiful being, and I want you to meet him. But he wrote this: "The best of sacred music isn't the sound of our search for God, but the sound of us having been found by God." The best of sacred music isn't the sound of our search for God, but the sound of us having been found by God. And you know what that sound looks like and feels like? Silence. Silence is the most beautiful sound of being found by God. Just surrendered. And it also sounds like praise. That psalm that Bev read, Psalm 150, caps all the psalms. Praise be to God. Praise this God. Praise with every single thing in the universe. Praise God. That's the sound of someone who's been touched by God, been found by God, been known by God. And that is the gift of being a part of a community, because different ones of us are touched by God at different times. And we're not always in that place or in that state. But as we walk through the concourses of life, whether DFW or wherever you might be, and you witness the downtrodden, the empty-hearted, the beleaguered, the weary who are eating chaff of life, eating the lie of consumption and acquiring, and who have forgotten where they come from and what they can become, you can look into their eyes, give them a little wink, send them love, and let your foundness by God be shared to them in their lostness, because they only are lost on one side of the coin. On the other side, they're already found. They just have forgotten where they come from. And that's what creative energies do. They help us all remember who we are, where we come from, and what we can become. Amen. Next week, We will have a community sharing on this book, which has been our community reading for the last 2 months. We're going to continue with this reading into September. And you can share next week as well as any ideas that spoke to you about transforming practices that we've been talking about, what practice drew you or spoke to you. Let's take a moment in the silence. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to complete its work in each of us today. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts the song.
You knew me. You knew.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives.
Most gracious and loving Creator, God of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, breather of our being, we pray for those in our community in need of the touch of healing and comfort, especially remembering today Travis Bowman, Karen Rink, Kathleen Littlepage as she recovers from surgery, Dan Odell, Julie Beard, and Emmy. We give you thanks also for the gift of Corva's baby boy, Thiago, and celebrate his life. For these that we have named and surround in your love, and those that remain silent now in our hearts that we lift up to you, we pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It is you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate Christ's energy to our bodies and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Transform us into your presence, that the body of Christ would be us, and that the power of your Holy Spirit would flow through us with creative energy. During supper, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be broken for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper had ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete, we pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. I can see your love.
Creative dancer here. Precious little angel. Yes, indeed. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this beautiful community unfolding into God's love, that we feel your love, and hopefully you feel all the love. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us, inspiring us to be creative agents in the world. Amen.